be here, and I love the word of the Lord. I'm excited to see all of you here tonight. Yeah, the attendance is down a little. It's a little icy out there, but that's Wisconsin in the winter, and the winter's almost over, I hope. Praise the Lord. I can appreciate any weather, but I especially appreciate nice, warm weather. Not hot, but just nice, warm weather. Don't have to wear a coat or anything, just walk right outside. That's coming. Amen. But anyway, I'm thankful to be here with you, and we are going to study the Word tonight in Mark chapter 13, and we're going to sing a chorus yet. Before we do, though, I just want to mention that we have 5 more baptisms coming up before the end of the month. So this Sunday, we've got this wonderful young couple out here, Sean and Tina Wentz, and they're planning on Sunday, right? Okay, and that's exciting. Then we also have, we have Nancy and Christy. They were here sitting right in the front a couple weeks ago from Illinois. And then Nancy's husband also has been listening to the messages, and he wants to get baptized. So there's 3 more. So that's 5 that I know of, and who knows? Amen. The Lord is calling people quickly. There is not much time left. And really, that's what this chapter is all about, too. We are right down at the end of the world. These are the last of the last of the last days. So the Lord told us to occupy until He comes, and that's what we're trying to do. Last Trumpet Ministries is growing exponentially. Tonight, there are people, although there'll just be a few of us here tonight, there are people online all over the world. I got a letter from a man in Finland today, telling how much he enjoys coming on, and people are listening all over the world. There's a lot of people on tonight, and we're thankful for that, for all of you that are listening, and they're on the computer. God bless you. We're glad you're there. So we're reaching quite a number. I know that I might have mentioned this before, but Sam told me that in the first 3 days of this month, right after we put out the February issue, by the 3rd of February, we had already over 60,000 people log on to read the newsletter. And last year, over 2 million. So, and we're sending thousands and thousands of tapes and DVDs and CDs out. And I've never charged a nickel for anything because we just trust God to help us. And He always has. So praise the Lord. Whoever heard of that? You know, most of these ministries are collection agencies, you know. Send it in. Give it. Even if you don't come, send it. You know. Now, that Catholic guy told me one time, he said, I was so upset. He said, the priest came to visit me and was wondering why I wasn't coming to Mass. And he said, well, you know, I've been working on Sundays and so forth. And the priest said, well, that's okay. You keep working Sunday. Just make sure you send in your envelope. So what was he more concerned with, the envelope or the soul? Of course, in that case, it's better that he did stay away. But anyway, I wanted to mention that we have the new chorus book. We should have them by Sunday. Plenty of them out there. These are going to be handed out at the beginning of the service and collected at the end because they don't really fit well in the racks, and we want to keep them nice and everything. So we need to find a volunteer that's willing to hand them out at the beginning of the service and collect them at the end. That can be somebody's job to do. Let me know if you're interested. For every job, we need a backup person, too. But anyway, this is indexed. It's in a little extra large print. That's nice. And this will be a very nice little chorus book. Jean ran these off. Anna helped her. And there's a lot of choruses in here, 164 of them. And they're all indexed. Very nice little chorus book. All right, the Last Trumpet catalog is now ready. And looks like this. And it's a little different. See, we have a machine down here that it'll print these and fold them and saddle stitch them all in one operation. Just zips them around. They come out just like this out the other end. And we have a table of contents. Tells where to find the audio cassettes, the CDs, DVDs, tracts, special reports, back issues, and audio newsletters. All right, and then on the inside, what's really nice about this is it'll tell by subject. If you want to look something up and know where to get it, if it's on tape or in a newsletter. For an example, abortion, addiction, affliction, angels, age of Aquarius, Armageddon. They're all alphabetized. Any subject, tell you what tape to listen to, or CD, or DVD. And so we've got an extensive index there that'll take care of it by subject. Then, in addition to that, we have scripture reference. If you want to look up everything that we've preached on from Acts or Colossians or Daniel, it'll tell you which to listen to. So it does it by scripture, does it by subject, and we have, I believe, 19 tracts. We've got a lot of tapes, DVDs, CDs. Back issues of the newsletters going back to 1986. Everything's all indexed and laid out very nicely. So if anybody is interested in a catalog, we'll have those available. I hope by the weekend as well. I think they're ready to go now, but there's not a lot of them printed yet. And I did mention in the newsletter this time that these are ready, so watch them fly off the shelf. So we are really, this is a ministry of faith. You know, it gets very, very expensive when we put these things out, but God does help us. And I marvel at that. Because the reason we offer everything free is there are people who really can't send anything. And I don't think they should be deprived from having this material. I just don't believe that money should be the issue. Because we're not here to ask people to send money. If God moves upon them to do it, then He will, and they will, and everything's fine. And for over 27 years, it's worked. And I'm just believing it'll keep being that way. Because we're not a business. We're not here to put prices on anything. So when you get the catalog, there are no prices, there are no suggested donations, just a list of what we have to give to you. Because what makes the kingdom of God different from the world is, in the world, there's buying and selling. In the kingdom of God, there's giving and receiving. You never can put a price on anything. We hear at least one little amen there.
Amen.
I know we're different. But isn't it great? I love being different. I just want to be in the will of God. Amen. So, enough said there. We're going to sing that chorus, "Keep on Walking by Faith." And then we are going to go into Mark chapter 13 and study that tonight. Amen. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Amen. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, there's a reason for everything that we do. You may be seated if you'd like to. There's a reason for everything that we do. You know, we clap our hands when we sing because the Bible says, "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph." We lift our hands. The Bible says, lifting up holy hands. You know, we need to do that. And be vocal for the Lord. Praise Him. Amen. So, we're going to study tonight. You know, these are exciting times. I marvel at how wicked the world is. I marvel at how evil our country is. The government that we have. And not just here, but the whole world lieth in wickedness. And, you know, really, everything that I'm seeing, no matter where I look, tells me the Savior will come soon. It has to happen. He's coming back. There's no question about that. It's a matter of when. We don't know. But He gave us many things to watch for, many indicators, and I'm seeing them all. And I study this every day of the week. Sometimes I get up in the middle of the night after I'm through praying, and I study these things. I get on and bring some headlines up and start looking through, and I just can see it and feel it everywhere. It won't be long now. And that's good. I can't get used to this world, and they don't have anything I want. Amen. I'm looking up, for my redemption draweth nigh. How about you? Amen. Amen. We are turning tonight to Mark chapter 13. And of course, this is an amazing chapter. You're going to find that there is an urgency in it. Jesus spoke these words just prior to going to the cross. And he had a lot to say about the subject at hand. We're going to ask for his help. Father in heaven, without thee, we can do nothing. But through thy mighty name and by thy power, all things are possible to them that believe. Now we humbly approach thy throne of grace as thy children, O Lord, children of grace, O Lord, and children of mercy. And I pray, Lord, that thou wouldst now help us to study thy word, to learn of thee, that thy word would sink down deeply into our hearts. For, O Lord, the time of thy coming is at hand, and there is so little time left for people to hear and believe and repent. O Lord, help us that which we do, we would do quickly for thee, and to get this word out, even the everlasting gospel. For we know, O Lord, that there are many that are lost, and I pray in thy mercy that thou wouldst have compassion quickly upon people, O Lord, and draw them unto thyself. Help us now as we study, we pray, and we give thee glory for it. Let Satan be rebuked. Let him be bound, cast out, made powerless in thy presence. And give us the victory of thy name and of the Holy Ghost. And let thy Spirit fill us, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In Mark chapter 13, the Word of God tells us, as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. Now this was the temple set up on that hill, that mountain, over there in Jerusalem. The temple that was rebuilt, remember it was built long ago, but the Babylonians destroyed it, and it was rebuilt. Many times it was referred to as Herod's temple because he put additions on it, and they kept changing it around. But there was this magnificent temple. It was made of white stone that would glisten in the sunlight. It was magnificent. It was an amazing thing to look at. From a distance, you could see it. And you know, the religion of the day, the religion of the Pharisees, and of particularly of the Sadducees, was that if the temple were ever destroyed, that is when the world would end. That you could not serve God without the temple. That doctrine primarily belonged to the Sadducees and to the Judaic Pharisees. You see, there were two kinds of Pharisees, Judaic and Hellenic. The Hellenic Pharisees believed in synagogue worship, that you could have synagogues anywhere in the world that was just as good as having a temple. The Judaic Pharisees didn't believe that. They said, if you don't have a temple, that's the end of the world. The world can't survive without the temple. You have to have it. It was a building of men. And man had changed it around time and again. So this was an interesting concept and quite a dynamic at work here in the minds of those people. And that did have an effect on the disciples of Jesus at first. Notice something. They're asking him about the temple. They're pointing it out to the Lord and saying, see what manner of stones here. Look at this building. You know, God wasn't impressed, though. He wasn't impressed. When you think of what's in heaven, how could you be impressed with what's here on earth? He knew what was coming. He also knew and told us that he, the Lord Jesus is the real temple. In fact, at one point, he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. He wasn't talking about the building. He was talking about the temple of his body. What is a temple? The word temple means a place where time is kept. The temple was laid out in the same pattern as the tabernacle. The word tabernacle means dwelling place of God. And God is perfectly capable of manifesting his power without a building of men. In fact, the Apostle Paul preached and really stirred up a controversy when he did it, when he said, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Boy, that really messes things up for the Pope, doesn't it? Because the Pope says, here's the Sistine Chapel. Here's St. Peter's Basilica. Here we have all of these massive structures and buildings here, cathedrals and so forth. And they put all this money into it. And it's so ornate and looks so religious. And yet the scripture says that God doesn't dwell in any of those places. Now there are spirits in those places. Oh yes. What kind of a spirit would dwell at the Vatican with all the idols? With all that weird stuff going on, all the red candles and all of this spooky stuff going. Did you ever go in a Catholic church? It's spooky in there. How many have ever been in a Catholic church? Anybody ever thought it was spooky? Didn't it give you the creeps? Something go up and down your spine? Oh, there's spirits in there, especially around the spring festival that they call Easter, which has nothing to do with Passover. Has nothing to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They do the Stations of the Cross. And they get real, real religious about that time in between their drunkenness. They get real... Am I being too rough on it? I'm telling you, down the street, there used to be a tavern across the street from this Catholic church down here. And when Mass would let out, they went over. It was a beeline straight for the bar. But then again, if that's all I had, maybe I would have done that too. One thing's obvious, they don't know the Lord. They know their religion. They've had their instructions, their CCD classes. They're taught to pray the rosary. They're taught to pay the priest money to get their relatives out of purgatory, which doesn't exist. The whole thing is based on Egyptian, Babylonian worship of the sun god. All of it. And that's the extent of it. And people are deceived and hoodwinked into that and held in check by fear so that they would never leave it. And I've had confrontations with Catholic people. They have great sincerity, but you know, you don't get to heaven by being sincere. You know, you can be sincerely wrong, and that doesn't get you anywhere. They need to come to the realization, and thank God when they do, that it takes the Savior coming into their hearts, regardless of a church or religion, it takes the saving power of Jesus personally to come into you and take control. Anyway, the disciples pointed out to Jesus, look at this building! It's magnificent! What was the answer of our Lord? And Jesus answering said unto him, seest thou these great buildings? You see, it was more than one building. Remember, they kept adding things onto it. In fact, back in the days of the Old Testament, they even built a special segment of it for homosexuals. Did you know that? The Sodomites. Of course, what do we have today? Who did Barack Obama ask to come and pray at his inauguration? A bishop, an Episcopal bishop by the name of Gene Robinson, who was married, had a family, had children. He decided he would leave his wife and children and then go and live with a man and still kept on being a bishop. Now he prefers to be called Vicky. V-I-C-K-I, Vicky Jean Robinson. He looks like a man. He dresses like a man. But he's, can you imagine looking at this guy and saying, oh, there's Vicky. You know, Vicky, Bishop, Vicky Jean Robinson, amen. You know, it's enough to make you lose your lunch. When I was coming back from Washington, state of Washington, I was in Seattle, and we had to check our luggage to get on Amtrak. And there was a guy in there, big, husky-looking guy, with painted fingernails and a ponytail and a name tag that said Jessica. I'm telling you, you know, it's like, get me out of here. Just get me out of here. It's unbelievable. And there's so much of this going on. And then Rick Warren commented, actually praised Barack Obama for having that flaming, red-hot, queer bishop there. He said, in the interest of finding common ground, you see, it was necessary. Common ground? Well, we know what happened to the temple in the Old Testament. They tore that thing apart. They burned it. That was it. But now there was the new one in this land, in the city of Jerusalem. The Roman Empire was in power. They allowed the temple to continue on and so forth. But they had all of this Judaism going on. And by the way, nobody's ever been saved by Judaism. It's never happened. What did the people of God practice in the Old Testament? You could call it Mosesism, I guess, but certainly not Judaism. And they didn't practice the use of the Talmud. That came from Babylon. So there's a lot of deception in the land today. There's only one way to be saved, and that is through Jesus Christ. Jews need to become Christians. Christians don't need to become Jews. Got to have some more amens here. Come on. Why would anybody want to do that? Somebody recently got after me and said, you know, you need to keep the Sabbath. I said, I do. Come on. Not only that, but all the other days. Every day is to be kept unto the Lord. I had somebody attack me one time and say, you can't worship God on Sunday. That's the mark of the beast. Now you're telling me there's a day out of the week I got to forget God? They said, well, you can't do that. You can't do... Hey, in the first place, these guys, I don't care what they say, they can't prove that Saturday is the seventh day anymore. The calendar's so messed up. In fact, there's evidence to the contrary. Which was the real seventh day going back to the very beginning when God created the world? In 7 days. And can you equate the modern day Saturday, the day of Saturn, to that? You see, it's a mess, isn't it? Just like there's nobody today that can prove they're from Abraham physically, not one person. Because all the records were destroyed when the temple was destroyed. That's where all the records were kept, and it was burned to the ground. No records anymore. So it's your word against whoever. What am I doing here? Am I tearing something down? No, not without building something up. You see, we all need to realize that no matter what your pedigree is, no matter who your father and mother were, no matter where you came from, what color you are, you need Jesus Christ. You're saved by grace and not by race. We need to get in the Bible and shoot down those false doctrines. False doctrines are of the devil. The devil is religious. I'm not impressed with religion. We need the truth of God's word, that only. So, more could be said on that, but more will come out, no doubt. Now, Jesus answered, you know, they called his attention to this beautiful temple, and Jesus answering said unto him, seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. What's he telling them? You see this beautiful temple? It's all going to come down. There won't be one stone left on another. They won't be too high. That he's saying it's going to be laid even with the ground. Did it happen? Oh, yes. And it's amazing how it happened. Because when the Romans put the torch to that temple, and those cedar beams in there caught on fire, and all the wood, the ornate things in there, and that thing started burning, all the gold and silver started melting. It has a relatively low melting point, and it ran down between all the rocks and all the stonework and all the masonry. You had little rivulets of gold running down through every rock, and those Roman soldiers were paid by what they could walk away with. Did you know that? They didn't get a check. Now, the Romans had money. It was called salarium. Salarium, from the word, you get the word salary from that? It was salt money, little blocks of salt, and they'd hand them back and forth. Well, that's got more value than our money has. Had an intrinsic value. I mean, you could pulverize it and put it on your food, you know. Of course, you wouldn't want to with all them hands touching it. Actually, they say that the salt money, the little blocks of salt that they exchanged, turned black from all the oil in the hands that touched it and grabbed it. But that's where you get the word salary from. Salarium, which is salt. Salt money. But they weren't paid a salary as a Roman soldier. They were paid by what they could take in a raid. They'd go in and, you know, they would plunder everything and divvy it up. And that's why they took the garment of Jesus and they were going to divide it up, remember? But God wouldn't let them do it. He put it in their heart to not divide that garment. They said it was woven top to bottom, seamless, and they cast lots for it, shook dice. Of course, the Romans were the inventors of dice. And the first dice were made of human bone carved perfectly in a cube. They would make indentations in the human bone cubes and use drops of blood in each one of these little indentations. So you'd have the one, the two, the three, four, the five, the six. Then you could shake them and call upon the divine powers of the gods to give you a seven or 11, whatever you're playing, you know. That was the first dice. Human bone painted with blood for the little dots. Gets a little strange, doesn't it? Yeah, the Romans were very, very, very superstitious. As a matter of fact, I was talking to Neil, Dr. Neil, over in Australia. He's run into another problem now. You see, when we baptized him and his family here, they went back to Australia, to Victoria there. They're right in the bush country area. And they were witnessing to everybody about the greatness of God and how good they felt and what the Lord had done for them and telling everybody about it. Now the fires came, and now the people, many of the people that they had talked to, are so mad at God that they're calling him continually and cursing God and cursing him. And he finally said to his wife, "Don't even answer the phone anymore, because people are calling and just ragging on him and saying terrible, blasphemous things, and it hurts him to hear it, you know. So keep him in prayer." But you know, they're cursing the only one who can help them. You know, those fires in Australia were no accident. 400 of them were set simultaneously. And they were set on the 9th of February under a full moon. On the very day that answers to the Roman celebration in honor of the fire god Vulcan. Now, the August full moon is when the Romans did that in the northern hemisphere, of course. The southern hemisphere equivalent would be the full moon of February. Because, see, our winter is their summer, and their summer is our winter. It's exactly mirror image. because it's the southern hemisphere. We're in the north. So that particular day, the full moon of February, would be the same day, calendar-wise, in the occult, as the full moon of August, which is when the Romans would light these big fires and take live animals and throw them in the fire to watch them burn to death as a sacrifice to their god Vulcan, the fire god, which the Greeks called Hades. Now, I think that's terrible. Like, they call those big fires bonfires, but they call it bonfire now. Bonfire is actually taken from the word bone fire. They use it for all the sacrificing. In Australia, they said millions of animals are dead. There are kangaroos and wallabies that couldn't... Cause you got to remember, these fires were whipped by winds of 120 miles an hour. It's like a blowtorch. I mean, nothing could get away. The temperature outside was 120 degrees, and it was dry, and the winds were 120 miles an hour, sometimes 60 to 120, or even more. I heard 180. It's unheard of. And these animals couldn't get away. And they've got kangaroos with their feet burned, their ears burned off. It's terrible, and millions of animals laying there dead. They're finding piles of ashes that were people. And they know there's over 200 dead now and over 800 missing. And they're still finding clumps of ashes and so forth. It was a dreadful, horrible, awful thing. And it's beyond description to watch people standing there and suddenly burst into flames and just burn to death. A fire with a face in it. You know, it's, you can't imagine this. And flesh dropping off their bodies. I know I'm painting a graphic picture, but Dr. Neal painted that very same picture for me. And why would anybody curse God? You think about hell. Jesus came to save us from that. You know, people make their own trouble. It's the Lord that gets us out of trouble. We're already in the trouble. People say, oh, God sent us trouble. He sent us trouble. No, you're already in it. You just didn't know it, maybe, but you're already in trouble. The Lord came to save us out of it, and if you'll call upon Him, He will. So it's an amazing thing, but keep him in prayer because he's really going through a very, very rough time. He's a wonderful man, and you know, he's just going through it. So keep praying that God will help him, give him strength. I've been corresponding with him by email just about every day. Now, back to the subject at hand, Jesus said there wouldn't be one stone left on another. What did that tell these people? Remember, in their minds, the world could not continue if the temple were destroyed. That means he's telling us about the end of the world. It arrested their attention. And so it tells us in verse 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? The reason they asked is, again, if the temple were gone, the world would end. So they thought. But he straightens them out on that. And, you know, as I, just to finish what I was saying before about the not one stone upon another, those Romans took that thing with crowbars. They took that place apart, stone by stone, to get the gold out that melted between the stones. And you can imagine, there was nothing left of that temple, not one stone upon another. That is why they went to the extreme they did to take it apart, to get the gold and silver. Gold does strange things to people. I still find it amazing that these $20 gold pieces that you can buy sell for $1,000. I think the maple leaf is $1,059. Cougarrand is $1,050. The South African gold, of course, that's not pure. It's got a little copper in it. The maple leaf is, you know, these gold cartwheels, so to speak. You know, if they used to sell for $20, why do they sell for over $1,000 now? Has something happened to our dollar? What would happen to people if they'd start to think? Can you imagine? So now, they ask him the question, when and what? When and what sign? And Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. Notice, before he says anything more, he says, watch out for deception. Do we have deception in the world today? All kinds of deception regarding the coming of the Lord. And people are so mixed up on prophecy, they don't even want to deal with it anymore. And so many of them are caught up in a pre-trib rapture doctrine that they say, don't even tell me about it because I'm going to get zapped out of here, pulled out of here before anything happens. So why should I even be interested? Well, you better get interested because the Lord's coming on the last day, period. That's what makes it the last day, the coming of the Lord. So that means I don't have to wonder if Barack Obama gets on the television sometime. See, they want everybody to have a computer. They'll be giving them away free before long. And they want everybody to have this digital television. In fact, they got the switchover coming where you have to have it digital. You can't have it analog anymore. You know why that is? Because with their equipment, they have something called Quad S, silent sound, where they can project this through a digital television directly to the cortex of your brain and bypass your ears. And they can tell you what to do and how to react. They can program you. It goes into your brain and you don't even know what's going on. You find yourself thinking things you don't want to think, doing things you would otherwise never do. They granted a patent, I think it was back in 1986. It's all in my newsletter. You can read about it. This was used on the Iraqis. The Iraqi army was the third most powerful army in the world, the Republican Guard. They practically fell to their knees instantly and surrendered. They crumpled instantly because we used silent sound on them. And they just gave up. They couldn't handle it. Their brains were literally taken over. There's a reason why they want to go digital with a television, and the government will help you buy the box. They'll send you the money. They'll make sure you've got it. So you can watch your favorite program, if you have one. Of course, most of the advertisements, too, they're all medical. Did you ever notice that? Almost all of them are some medicine. Saw a cartoon today I thought was great. Showed this guy sitting in a doctor's office, and the doctor's saying to this guy, now, this medicine I'm giving you is not going to cure you, but the side effects that you'll get from it will make your disease look like nothing. And that's about it, isn't it? You listen to some of these side effects. Lymphoma. Cardiac arrest. Side effect? You got a better chance, far better chance without the medicine. But you see, these are drugs the doctor doesn't recommend. You have to ask for them. That's why they advertise them. Then the doctor can say, well, you know, he asked for it. She asked for it. And now with a stimulus package they came out with, there's a new agency in the government. Are you surprised? A new bureau, health management. Every time you go in for anything for the doctor, the federal government will manage it. The doctors cannot make their own decisions anymore. They have to follow what, and it's all going to be computerized. Your personal file will be managed from Washington, D.C., and the doctor either lines up with what the federal government says they're supposed to do to you, or they are penalized and fined. That was in the stimulus package. Don't you feel stimulated over that? I remember when a certain reporter asked Joe Biden about Barack Obama and this concept of turning the banks over in this country into a system like they have in Sweden, where the government owns the banks. No private banking anymore. No competition anymore. The government owns all the banks. It's socialism. And he laughed. I remember, I've got it on that Obama DVD. He laughed, said this woman was crazy. Where are you getting your questions? Remember that? Now I see in the news today, Obama leaning toward a Swedish-style banking system. Just like Animal Farm, you know, George Orwell. And people are walking around in a daze. Go out there, go to a store, go to Walmart, go to a mall somewhere. Look at people. Looks like they're on something. Blank expressions, walking around. What's up? They've been programmed. It's like a bunch of zombies. Can anybody think anymore? Does anybody dare to ask questions? People are falling lockstep. Oh, the government will help me keep my house. The government will take care of me, cradle to the grave. And a lot of people thought the government will give me a big stimulus check, $800. Now they're saying we're building it into the tax table. You'll end up with about $13 a week that's going to take care of all your needs. You've just been rationed 13 bucks a week. So you got enough to buy a pizza depending on what you want on it. But only one a week. And maybe not even enough for the tip. Now, it's an amazing thing. Amazing to watch. And so, Jesus warned us. He said, take heed lest any man deceive you. And we live, deception is the order of the day. This whole world is a scam. This whole system. The educational system, the money system, the medical system. It's a scam. It's all crooked. It's all dishonest. Where do you find anything that's really real anymore? Now, I'll tell you, you have to look up to find it. Verse 6 says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. There's two ways to look at that verse. There are those that would come and say, I am Christ, meaning you're looking at him. Or there are those that would point to Jesus and say, yeah, he is Christ, but at the same time, hand you a barrel of baloney. Come on. Benny Hinn does it. Kenneth Copeland does it. Rodney Howard Brown does it. And all these other charlatans out there are doing this. They use the name of Jesus for their own personal gain. And it's another Jesus that they're talking about, not the one of the Bible. Now verse 7 says, and when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, have you heard any of them? Hey, what do you think of this thing lately here? We're having a few problems, you know. Two nuclear submarines smashed together. Each one carrying enough nuclear weapons. Each one to pull off, what is it, over 1,200 Hiroshima-sized explosions. 2,400 of those and you'd have a dent in the earth, I would think. They didn't go off this time. With all the technology and sonar and everything out there, how can you smash two subs together? And then again, how do you smash two satellites together out in space, some 286 miles, something like that, up over Siberia? Bang, zoom. Huh? Fragments everywhere. 600 major fragments going all around in the orbit there, and then into other orbits, and countless amounts of smaller fragments. Now they're starting to have fireballs as these things streak through the atmosphere. Yeah, we got some problems. There's signs in the heavens, there's signs in the earth, there's signs in the oceans. One of these times, we're going to hit the big one. Now they're saying there's these dark comets up there. They can't even spot them. But they're zipping around up there, and they threaten the earth. Hey, something's going to get us. Isn't that good news? That tells me the Lord's coming. Amen. All right. Now, so he's saying in verse 7, and when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Oh, incidentally, Barack is spending some more of your money. He's sending more troops to Afghanistan. Thousands and thousands more. See, we have to protect our opium interest over there. You know why we're in Afghanistan? It's the largest producer of opium in the world. And our government makes a lot of money on opium. Oh, they arrest the freelance guys out there selling it. Do you ever wonder what they do when they confiscate all that stuff? They don't destroy it. It goes into their little economy. You find that hard to believe? Get out your encyclopedia and look up opium wars in history. And you'll find that back in China, many years ago, outlawed opium. And the British government, during the opium wars, sent armies in to force the Chinese government to legalize opium again because the British were making money on it. Hey, Afghanistan happens to be the number one producer of opium. And we happen to be over there. You must say, you're tearing down the image of the good old U.S. of A. Hey, there's no image left. It's long gone. We've lost our country. It's time to wake up and realize it. We have communism here right now. They just haven't told you yet. Barack is waiting for the right time. But he's taken over the banks. He's taken over the economy. He's taken over all the industry. You know, what do you think these auto plants are going to do now? GM says they can't survive anymore. They've got to have billions more. And they're still going to lay off thousands and tens of thousands of people. Where are these people going to go? Eventually, the government is going to own all of it. Government-owned auto industry, government-owned airlines, government-owned banks, government-owned everything. Then you have socialism, Marxist socialism, which is communism, in effect. All right? Somebody better raise the human cry here and let people know that actually that's an old English term, raise the human cry. It actually came from the old English law called the posse comitatus, where everybody has to pitch in and help in order to take the problem out of the way. I won't go into all of that right now, but that's old English law. Verse 8 says, for a nation, notice the end shall not be yet, he says, with these wars and rumors of wars. Said, be not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. Something else has to happen. For a nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Now you're looking at not just a couple skirmishes here and there. You are looking at world war. And we've had two of them already, and we're on the brink of a third. It wouldn't take much. And these other nations over there look at Barack Obama as a joke. It wouldn't take very much to get this thing going, and it is inevitable. The Bible talks about a final battle called Armageddon. There will be a World War III. They planned it long ago. Nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places. Oh, there aren't any of them, are there? An average of 360 earthquakes, magnitude 4.0 and above, within any given 30-day period. That's a lot of earthquakes. Mount Vesuvius is coming awake. Isn't that something? Go way back into ancient history, they had a city of Pompeii, about 6 miles from Mount Vesuvius. They were warned, with all the earthquakes, this thing's going to blow. And they stayed there, and it blew and killed them all. Then you go back into the 1600s, and of course a lot of people settled the area again, and it started rumbling. And they didn't heed the warning, and they got wiped out. Now, Vesuvius is awake again, shaking like crazy, getting ready to spout. And how many people live in the area? Oh, only 6 million. And you can tell them, oh, no, that'd never happen. That won't happen. Famous last words, that won't happen. Till the fire and lava starts raining down on you. Did you know that our oceans, the acidity in our oceans, has increased 25% in the past 10 years? And that's a lot, 25% in 10 years. Why? Because of volcanic activity under the ocean. And because sulfuric acid is formed from the sulfur that comes in and the gases that bubble up into the ocean. Hey, there's major trouble on this earth. It's exciting to know we know the Lord and that He's coming soon. We could go on and on with these signs, but He said there would be a major world war. We've had two already. Another one is fomenting right now. And He went on and said there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, meaning all over the globe, not just in one spot. And there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. He said, when you see all that awful stuff happening, that's just the beginning of it all. Because His tribulation must come. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils. And in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sakes, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. Now He was speaking this primarily to people that lived back there in the days when the Romans came in and attacked. But you know, we have a similar thing going on today. If you really stand up for the truth, all guns are pointed at you. You are a target. Oh yes. And we find trouble, not only in general out there, but in our own families. Among people we thought were our friends. Oh yes. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. You know, it's an awesome thing when the Holy Ghost speaks through you. You talk about wisdom. See, there are gifts of the Spirit. There are 9 of them. And they are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And where would we be today without them? So many ministers say, well, yeah, there were 9 gifts of the Spirit, but they're not here anymore. Did the Lord leave you here giftless? Did He put you in the last days, the most treacherous days of all time, and say, you're on your own, buddy? Doesn't make any sense, does it? And how many are these gifts given to? Unto every man, severally, as he wills. Maybe we should do a study, and we finish Mark, maybe we better go into 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, and have a good study on that. I think that's what we'll do if the Lord allows it. I think He will. Now, verse 12 says, now the brother shall betray the brother to death. And the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. What could cause such a thing? What kind of a fanaticism could grip the hearts of people to betray their own family members? They have to believe so firmly in something in opposition to what you believe regarding the Lord that they'd be willing to do it. And they will believe in the Antichrist. Have you never read in John chapter 5 where Jesus said, I come in my Father's name and you receive me not, but if another come in his own name, him you will receive. Saying, you're not going to receive me, but you'll receive the devil. And he'll come in the form of a religious leader, somebody with some real charisma, with a certain magnetism, one of these charlatans that says, it's all okay. Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, it's all religious. As Rick Warren said, we have to find common ground. Oh no, the Lord never told us to find common ground. He said to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered. You're going to have to fight for what you've got in order to keep it. A lot of people aren't willing to do that. But there are those that are. When there's a price that you pay, then it's worth something to you. David said, God forbid that I should offer unto the Lord that which cost me nothing. And we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Remember Romans chapter 12? And be not conformed to this world. Rick Warren, common ground. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Rick Warren, you charlatan traitor, modern day Judas Iscariot. Somebody better tell him. It's exactly what he is. Gets that bishop up there. Guy that's a little bit of each, but not enough of neither. Huh? Doesn't know what he is. Vicky Jean Robinson. Can't call him, sir. And ye shall be hated of all men. Why? For my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Isn't that great? Salvation is in endurance. Keep going, never quit. Don't only be alive, but be alive and remain. Remain faithful, remain in the Word. Remain in singing unto the Lord. Remain, remain, remain. But when ye shall see the abomination, the Obama-nation, some things just fit, don't they? But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand, then let him that be in Judea, flee to the mountains. Now this was for the people back then primarily. That's where the prophecy was given, that they flee Jerusalem and get out of there before it was burned up. And they did. Because the first Roman general that came and besieged the city left. And in 70 AD, Titus came back and besieged it. But all the Christians in the meantime saw the armies and said, that's what Jesus said, let's get out of here. And they left. Amen. And you know, that abomination that maketh desolate was that Roman double eagle. The presence of Rome in the temple. Come on. I'm telling you, the presence of the government has no business in the church. That is the abomination of desolation, when the government's in the church. Come on! Where it ought not to be. Rushing mighty wind out there. What business does a government have in the church? It becomes a social, government-controlled entity. And as I've said so many times, the reason these churches sign up to be under government control, and it's voluntary, you don't have to do it. I had our CPA check it out just out of curiosity. He said, no, the IRS themselves said that you don't have to sign up. You're still a church, you're still holding services, and you're still tax exempt without signing up. I said to the accountant, why sign up? He said, I don't know. Then you got to send all those reports in. I'll tell you why they sign up. They feel secure in the hands of the beast. There's a certain security. It's like giving a 10-year-old child, a young man, a pacifier, you know. They should give them things up, you know, at some point, but they got to have that secure feeling. Now, I'll tell you another reason they do it. I'll tell you why the government's in there. Because what they're preaching is absolute baloney. And all baloney has to be government inspected. Right? So the government comes in and inspects their baloney that they're handing out. Well, well, well. Brian, am I being too rough on them? All right. Praise the Lord. People say, don't you realize they're listening? They're going to know what you're saying. Fine and dandy. Listen. Let's give them something to listen to. We're going to do this as long as we can. If they ever come and get me, you keep going. Come on. I know some people don't like to hear that, and maybe they won't be able to. It's up to God. I can tell you this, wherever I am, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. Reminds me of that guy that came over from, I believe it was Tibet. And he came to this country because he got out of jail. And he heard this was a Christian nation. He got off at the airport, saw all the smut books and all the people dressed like ungodly wretches, you know. He said, this is no Christian nation. And there's a church had him come and speak. And they said, tell us your story. He said, I'm from Tibet. He said, I find book. He had a very broken English. I find book wrote by God. And they said, what'd you do? He said, I read book wrote by God. Then what'd you do? I tell everybody about book wrote by God. And what happened to you then? They put me in jail 7 years. And what happened when you got out after 7 years? He said, I go out and tell everybody about book wrote by God. Then what did you do? Put me in jail 7 years. Twice now. Then what did you do when you got out? Me go out and tell everybody about book wrote by God. 21 years in prison. And he came over to this country and he was telling a story and they said, what are you going to do when you next? He says, this is no Christian nation. I go back to Tibet. They said, what are you going to do when you go back to Tibet? He said, tell everybody about book wrote by God. He said, don't you think they'll put you in jail? He says, me no think so. They said, why not? He says, everybody in jail Christian because I preach to them about book wrote by God. He had the whole place converted. See, I'll tell you, that's a powerful sermon. Most powerful sermons ever preached were preached in blood or sorrow or suffering. That's when there's some punch to it. Oh, yes, we are hated this for his namesake. This abomination that maketh desolate is the presence of the government in a church. It's exactly what it is. It was the presence of the Roman double eagle, which, by the way, is the symbol of the 33rd degree of the Scottish Rite, the the double-headed eagle. Remember that famous march? The marching bands play it the 4th of July under the double eagle. And the word of God goes on in verse 15 and says, "And let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child and them that give suck in those days." And I just want to praise the Lord here for a minute, just to explain something. I have studied for years about that abomination that maketh desolate. And, you know, I want to thank God, because what I told you a minute ago, the presence of the government in church, was just revealed to me just tonight by the Holy Ghost. It just hit me like a ton of bricks, and I know it was God. He doesn't want the presence of a double eagle or American flag, especially with gold fringes on, or any of this other nonsense. And all of this federal after-dinner hooey. Who needs it? We preach Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb. Well, amen. "And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, for in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days." He did back then, he's going to do it again. We don't know by how much, we don't know the day or the hour, but I'll tell you this. People say, "Why is it taking so long for the Lord to come?" Hey, it's not taking him a long time. He shortened the days. The Bible says he'll make a quick work of it. He'll cut it short in righteousness, it says. All right? And then, "If any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. Hey, don't believe it. When that priest holds up that little wafer and calls it the body of Christ, said, "Here is Christ," don't believe it. If Barack Insane, Hussein Obama tells you, "Hey, I'm the guy." Hey, they certainly insinuate it, don't they? Don't they imply it? Have an image of Obama on a donkey in Des Moines, Iowa, riding up the street with two Secret Service style SUVs complete with flags, black vehicles, one in front of the donkey, one after the donkey, and handing out palm branches to lay down in front of the donkey for his triumphal entry, and they call it Obama. It said Obama's entry, riding humbly on a donkey, you know? What are they telling people? Poor donkey. And so he says in verse 22, "For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things." Now that's intense deception when even the elect are challenged by it. But you and I have known people that fell into these traps and snares set by the devil. Come on. I'm going to have to preach it straight and hard, and we're all going to have to be strong, because you don't want to fall for the deceptions. They're going to be very convincing deceptions. "But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken." It's coming, folks. Starting to shake already. "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory." Do you think that's going to arrest the attention? I'll tell you, this world's going to come to a screeching halt. Come on. They're not going to be too busy then. to see what's happening, but it's going to be too late for almost everybody. We look forward to that. Tell other people that, oh, no, no, not in our time. Why would anybody want to think that way? We should be saying, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Couldn't be too soon! Come on! And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect. You are going to have an angelic escort, folks. The angels are going to come get us. Then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Right at the doors, that's where we are. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. We are in the last generation now. Why? We're seeing the signs. This is the generation of all the signs. Without a doubt. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Only the Spirit knows. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work. We have work to do. And commanded the porter to watch. That's the doorkeeper. Peter was given the keys to the kingdom. Every preacher of the gospel is a doorkeeper. Because we have those same keys. We're preaching. We're reaching out. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping, in a spiritual sleep, that is. And what I say unto you, not just them, folks, what I say unto you, I say unto all, that's us, watch. His last word of that message is watch. Watch what? Everything he said to look for. Look around you and you'll see it everywhere, day and night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's happening, it's happening, it's happening. Folks, it's at the doors. What a study this is. And I pray to God that he'll let us never forget it. Amen. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, this is so awesome of a thought, that we are at the very, very doors of thy coming. And I pray now that thou wouldst help us all to be ready for that great and glorious day. For it's written in thy word, the bride hath made herself ready. O Lord Jesus, move upon thy people. Bring about the events and occurrences in our life that would make us stronger and more faithful. Teach us to pray, to believe with all of our hearts, to sing thy praises, to walk in spirit and truth, O God. Help us to stand against the enemy, for the enemy is great and has risen up, but thou art greater. Be thou with us, O God. Let our lives be spent on thy gospel, something worthwhile, for we know that every true Christian not only has something to live for, but something to die for. And we thank thee for it, O God. Whatever time remains for us, let us use it to the glory of thy name. And in Jesus' name we ask it. Let Satan be driven out. Let him have no power to interfere with us in any way. For we have the victory through thy name. Let our hearts be sincere. Oh Lord, we're not here to play a religious game. We are here to lift up, out of complete obedience and sincerity, the everlasting gospel, bought with the blood and pain of thy sacrifice. Be thou with us, Lord Jesus, and strengthen us, I pray, against the evil day. Amen.